Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is called Why People Have a Hard Time with MLM as an Opportunity. And let me back up by talking about how the job market has changed over the last 100 years. And I think I have told this story before, but it's also based on things that have happened to me or things that I've heard in the past, because years ago, my mother used to talk about how her family came to this country and what they did, or she used to talk about our aunts and uncles and what they were doing. And on her part, there was a jealousy because of the lifestyle that she was living and the fact that she wanted better. And if you remember back at the early part of the 20th century, when the United States was first being populated, there was a big influx of people from Europe, and many of them brought the skills that they had from their homeland to this country, and that's the way they performed their job. And I remember watching Fiddler on the Roof, and it talks about Russia and the communities and how it was about a milkman and how he went from home to home selling the milk. Well, when you think about it, many of them had similar ways of earning an income, whether it be in Russia or France or England or whatever, during the early part of the 20th century, because they didn't have a means of transportation. They didn't have central stores and shopping centers. They didn't have grocery stores like they have today. So they got things fresher. And the quality back then was also better than it is today when you look at the quality of products in the stores today. The thing is that many of them not only would take their push carts and put it on street corners to sell their wares in their small communities, but many of them would open small stores. And I always remember the story my mother told, and this about how when her grandparents came to America, they settled in Savannah, Georgia, and they had a general store where they sold groceries. Well, today, that same location is called the Crystal Beer Parlor. And in their menu, when you go into the restaurant to buy, there is an article in there, and it talks about the Crystal Beer Parlor and its foundation. But it also talks about the family who owned it and the name of their company, and it also has a picture of them. Well, that's my grandparents and my aunt and my great aunt and uncle. And what happened was Savannah, Georgia, is very humid in the summer. So coming from Russia, my grandfather could not take the heat and humidity there. So he went back home to Russia. And then when he came back to America the second time, he came with my grandmother and settled in New York City. Now, my grandmother's family was in New York City, and her uncle worked as a janitor in the building that they lived in because he needed to provide for his family. But he also wanted advancement. So he was willing to work for nothing for the steel mill until the owner of the company was able to pay him a salary. Therefore, when the owner died, it was in the owner's will that his sons could not fire Uncle Barney. They had to let him work until he was ready to retire. So Uncle Barney stayed there until he was in his 70s, and then he lived to be 99. And my mother recently died 4 months ago at 92, and I knew she was in poor health, but I did not know the last year of her life that she was in a wheelchair and having to use a walker. But I knew I had seen it 3 years before then, when I had seen her again after not seeing her for many years. There was a drastic change. And I knew at the time she was on borrowed time because, I mean, she just didn't look herself anymore. And at that time, she was 89 years old. And what happens is that, and the reason I'm telling this story is because it shows you that where that generation was, many of them, that their parents came from Eastern Europe or Western Europe, and they brought their skills with them, and that's the job they performed. And then their children, which was the first generation born in this country, many of them went to war and fought in World War II. And women started working in the factories while the men were fighting in the war. And also, that was also the beginning of the corporate environment. And that was a period of time where you traded dollars for hours that you performed work. And remember, when you work in a corporation, you have to deal with politics. If you want to move up into management, you have to play the game in order to advance. So what's happening is that you saw a group of people that went, and that was the era where they went to work for the corporation, they worked their way up into management, and in 25 years, they got their retirement party and their gold watch, and they were supposed to live comfortably on Social Security. Well, for some people it worked, and for some people it didn't. And what you need to look at is that an avenue of how you want to perform? The thing is that the next generation, the baby boomer generation, that many of them went to work for the corporations with the idea that they had a job for life. Well, the thing is, after 15, 20 years, that was when the corporations had merged and they had 2 to 3 or 4 people for every job. So that what was happening was they started to pink slip people so that there was no longer a guaranteed job. But because it was an unwritten rule at that time that you had a job for life, or people assumed they had a job for life, that what happened was you saw a lot of buyout packages being offered to these employees. And that also allowed them to keep their health care coverage. Now, for some of those people, they were able to transition into becoming self-employed because that was also around the time of the Y2K era when there was a fear that when the change of the century happened, that all computers would crash. And so what would happen was all of these consultants would come in and charge high fees to offer their services to upgrade the computers so they didn't crash. Well, then that was proven wrong. And that was also the beginning of the dot-com era, but it was also an era when people were, it was inflationary. It was not truly what was actually being occurred. So that what happens is that there was a big myth on all of people's issues. Now, the Generation X, Generation Y, Generation Nexter, what's happened is many of them are still being told to go to work for the corporation. So what's happening is because those jobs are few and far between, there is a big discrepancy on what is going on. Then you have the older generation that just doesn't know how to log onto a computer and use it, and how to find gainful employment with a computer today. So what I want to do is go back, and what I'm going to do is just tell you that under the trading dollars for hours market model, that what happened was if you were expected to work 40 hours a week for 40 years and then retire on 40% of your income. Well, guess what? In today's day era, you can't survive on 40% of your income. So you need to look at what is an alternative method. So what I'm going to do is go back and talk about some other things. So if you're in sales, then guess what? Your income is based on your production. And when you think about it, that is a net too, because guess what? You are given a quota each year. If you meet that quota in that year, then guess what? The next year, your quota is increased. Therefore, what you're looking at is that it's all based on production. So what happens then is, especially sales with traditional companies, it's all driven by what is happening in the economy. Think about it. Car sales. People buy cars certain times of the year. Plus, what's happening is that many cars are being bought from overseas because they're made smaller. They have higher gas mileage. Plus, they have better quality of the way it's made. And what did that do to the car industry in this country? It put it into crisis. Now, what happened when a lot of people from the corporations started losing their jobs and they were looking for an avenue in which they could make an income equal to what they were making working for the corporation, then they started attending all these seminars on how to buy homes for no money down. And then what did that do to the economy? That inflated homes. And then when homes became inflated, it became very difficult for people who were just scraping by to keep up their mortgages. So if you were in the mortgage industry, that's a dead industry today because there are no mortgages being written where people can earn a living on it today. So that's also an avenue that we need to look at. So, and then there's the traditional business owner. And these people are the most taxed, the most stressed, and they have low income. That is, they're based on their return on investment. Think about it. If you have a business where you open your doors to the public, you have to first put out dollars to advertise. You have to buy products. You have to hire people and train them. And that you have to pay this money out before you even open your door. So let's look back. You got the blue-collar worker, which is your traditional business. You got your white-collar, which is the business owner. You got your sales position. And then you got real unemployment, which talks about people who aren't even looking for jobs anymore or who are no longer getting unemployment. So that what's happened is that there's a truly 18% unemployment, and there's only 8.6% that are paid by the government. That's why what is happening is that when the government talks about unemployment, they're using that number as their gauge of what unemployment is. So if that's what's truly happening in unemployment, then guess what? You need to look at an alternative model. And because the model that we're talking about, this is all based on the industrial age. And we moved out of the industrial age, and we moved into the performance-based model. And think about it. What, you know, like people in the service industry, usually they're paid by the hour. But, like, say if you have someone that works in the hotel, what if instead of them being paid by an hour, they're paid by the number of rooms they clean per day? Well, that's based on performance. And you're going to see more and more things move into that direction. So think about it. And what we want to talk about also is network marketing, because that's the performance-based business. And the one thing and the reason why a lot of people have trouble with it is because they have to accept one thing, that there's a temporary loss of social self-esteem. Because let's put it this way. If you think of yourself as a $5 an hour person and you want to move up to a $10 an hour person, well, guess what? Your people that you're working with, that they're not looking to move, then guess what they're going to do? They're going to start dogging you out. They're going to tell you, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. So what you're doing is you're putting yourself in a position of being alone. So what you need to do in that respect is either look for people who are entrepreneurs, who are interested in multi-level marketing as an avenue so that you can find a support system there, or you end up failing or giving up because you want to continue to get the support of the people around you. And what happens is the general public, what they do is instead of understanding how things have changed, they just want to blame everyone else. So that instead of accepting the fact that we're now in a performance-based income, they're disillusioned about the old model, and they may be willing to take a look at what it is that you are offering them about. So the struggle with finding people to talk to is typical in a multi-level marketing system. So because what they're doing is they're all basing it on the old model, which is you sit down and you write a list. They want you to come up with a list of 100 people that you know. And then what happens is when you have this program and you want to present it to someone, then until you really learn it, what do? You go out there and you give them this presentation. You don't really know what you're talking about. You don't know how to use other people to help you understand how to explain it to them. Or what you do is, and then what happens is they tell you no. And instead of your level of performance going up, it gets low again because the model that you're using is not a good list. Also, people tell you, well, talk to everyone who's within 3 feet of you. But unless someone's really interested in the product that you're selling, then guess what? It may not be for them, because almost every company that is becoming established today is looking to sell their products through network marketing or affiliate programs because it's cheaper to them in overhead, so they can put more money back into their product than they would be doing otherwise. So here's another thing that you can use, and what you need to do is think about how you can add 2 people to your list on a daily basis. So what you want to do is have an active candidate list, and you make this your database, and it's something that is ever expanding. So you would go through your memory and you would put on your list every person that you can think of that you know. And everyone knows at least can actually think of 20 people off the top of their head. And then if you go through your database, or what you need to do is have a contact management system. And what you want to do is there's, as you get to know someone, you want to have their name, their birthday, their family members, anything that's happened in their family, something that can help you build contact. Also, today with the technology of the internet, guess what that does? That helps you build your contact list, because what you can do is, like, think about it. You have a lot of names or people that call you that are on your cell phone or on your home phone, because every phone today has caller ID. And put all of those people on your list. And also, anyone that you get emails from, and social networks, which can be LinkedIn, Twitter, classmates.com, any organizations that you belong to. And what you need to do is think of things that you can do that can help you build and grow your list on a continual basis. And this will help you because, remember, if you have something, if you know something about someone, then you can help to turn things around for yourself and really build a strong team. And let me back up a little bit. The story that I was telling you earlier about how we have come back full circle to where we were 100 years ago, back to the small businessman. What we are truly now is a global marketplace. And how many times, if you're on a social network, you know someone, I have a connection with someone in a different country. And the problem is that when I've noticed that on Facebook, I've had people contact me, but because they don't understand how to build a relationship with me before they start telling me about their product or service that they're contacting me because they want to sell to me, then guess what's happening is that because I'm more aware now of how to build a strong network marketing team, that I can see the things that they're doing is not being the right way to do it. Because, first of all, you don't even know if I have an interest in your product. But if you're going to tell me to go to your website, then guess what? I can turn around and tell you, well, guess what? I'm in this program. Go to my website. So I can turn around and do the same thing to you because you just gave me that permission to do it without getting to know me and find out whether or not I have an interest in what you are selling. And remember something. When you are with a company, you first need to learn how to use the tools that are there. Because guess what? Today, when you get to know someone and you know they have an interest with the program or the product that you're in, when you ask them to join it, then you want to teach them how to duplicate what you're doing. So you need to have a simple system that works. Because what happened is, if you go out doing it the way that works for you, which fits your personality, then it's going to not be duplicatable to someone else who has a totally different personality. So what happens is, they get in, they start doing what you did, it doesn't work for them, and then guess what? They drop out. So what are you going to do that's going to make it successful for you? So you need to look at putting into action a system. Remember, every business has a system that they work on. And what I want to do in the last few minutes is go back and tell you a story that what happened was, I was watching an info commercial, and I knew he was talking about internet marketing. And so I actually was able to go to the presentation for free. Well, I had already been to Stores Online presentation, which was a free half-day presentation where I got lunch, and they were actually talking about how to market on the Internet, how to build links from your website. And what they were talking about were pay-per-click and how to use it and how you can lower your expense. For instance, if you are looking to market a product and you're going to use pay-per-click, then you have to have keywords that you buy. And those, so that when people put those keywords in, it will come to your website. Well, guess what? If you need to bid on those keywords, so if you're going to do $3, $4, $5 to be put number one under those keywords for people to click over, then what happens is if you have 100 people clicked over and only one out of that 100 actually bought anything, then guess what? You just lost money because no click is worth more than a dollar when you compare the number of clicks based on who buys and how much you earn. So if you're spending $4 to be number one and you're only and you're only making a dollar, well, guess what? You just lost $3. So you need to look for alternative methods. And let me back up to the story that I started to tell you. I went to this presentation, and his thing was that his father was working for WorldCom. WorldCom went out of business, and they were on the verge of losing everything. So this was a college student. He went on the Internet. He researched what people were looking for the most on the Internet, and he found that they were looking for credit cards. So he went to the credit card companies and talked to them about helping them market their credit cards. And for every person that applied on for a credit card that was approved, then he got paid on it. And then what he did was he built up his keyword advertising to 30,000, and he tweaked his sales letter on his squeeze page to say exactly what would get people to click over to apply for a credit card on his website. Built it up to $1 million business. Well, what he could have done, which would have made money for him, would have been to set it up as an affiliate program. But instead of doing that, he decided to make an info commercial that cost $250,000. Then he would go from city to city, and he'd go to four different hotels for each day, from Monday through Thursday, and he would have two sessions. And if he had 50 people in there, and he had a presenter telling his story and telling them and showing them what he was making in income every month, then people got hyped on how they were going to earn an income with this business. But the problem was that just because you bought this from him, just like when people went in and were buying the training on how to buy homes for no money down, that what happened was maybe 0.1% really made money on it, then guess what? A lot of these people were putting out $4,000 and $5,000 for something that they were not going to make money on, but he made a killing on it. So what you need to do is look at, since we're in a performance-based business, a business that is going to help you grow where you can put in a minimal amount of money. And if you would like to learn more, you can go to my website, and that website is the number one personalcareercoach.com.